This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's a little after 4:15, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current director of outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $170,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by Rachel Hart and Stephen Zumdick. They are partners on the Monarch Habitat Restoration Project that's happening on campus. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Thanks so much. Can you guys give me a basic idea of what this project constitutes and what it's all about?
So this project is really all about promoting monarch butterflies in the community and also promoting habitat restoration. So this project here is kind of a three-part project. The first part is led by Jared Penn, who's a PhD candidate over in agricultural economics. And he is looking at the economic value that the people of Lexington place on monarchs and how much they would essentially give for a monarch restoration project. The second portion would be the citizen science project that I'm heading, where we use members from the community to help us better understand the relationship between monarch butterflies and the milkweed plant. And then the third is this restoration piece that people have been hearing so much about and we've been working on for the past, you know, month or so.
Gotcha. How did this project get started? What fostered the sort of ideas behind it?
So, yeah, I'll take that one again. This project all got started mainly because the White House put out a call to action to help the health of pollinators all around the country. So we have this real issue going on with honeybees and other pollinators that is their populations are being reduced, and in that is monarchs, and the monarch population has reduced by a drastic number. I don't have the exact stat in front of me right now, but they've over 50% in the past 5 years or so. And since the action plan was put out, we decided to do our part, since we can't really do much on across the borders in Mexico where monarchs overwinter. We wanted to make sure that the habitat here in the United States is really taken care of.
Right. So that brings up an interesting point of how Kentucky is involved and what sort of role we play in monarch migration and conservation. Would you guys mind to touch on that?
Yeah, sure. So when monarchs, basically how they go through their migration is they start out in Mexico at a very specific site. Again, the name of the city is escaping me, but they overwinter at one site, and down there the tree that they overwinter on is being cut down. But anyway, back to their migration. In the spring months, they'll start moving up into the Texas area, Midwest region, and those adults will lay their eggs, and then they'll go off and die. And the eggs that they laid will come to maturity and continue northward throughout, I guess, the Midwest and over into Kentucky a little bit. And so Kentucky is kind of on the edge of this migration path, but we're still a vital part because, you know, all habitat is really kind of important to making sure that as the monarchs move in successive generations north towards Canada, they'll need as many places to lay eggs as they can so that the vast majority of them can survive all the way up to that fifth generation or sixth generation and then make the trip back to Mexico for their overwintering period.
Of course. So what are you all's roles in this project? What sort of actors are you in this?
So as part of the project, the restoration part, I was in charge of organizing student groups, figuring out what plants we needed, talking to experts from all over the country and local experts to figure out what was best going to help the monarchs here in Kentucky. And also we organized student groups that helped us actually get the plants in the ground.
And what I really helped out with was Jared and I were kind of the ones that directed the whole project, kind of saw the overall direction, and then I also dealt with any of the biological questions that came about and any ways that we could design these plots or the survey or the studies in order to help us answer certain biological questions.
Definitely. So what sort of campus partners or community partners are involved in the project? It's a big undertaking, so I'm assuming you have some.
A lot.
Yeah, so we had five different student groups that helped on the actual planting days, and that was Big Blue Bollywood, Kentucky Karana, Cats for Christ, Green Thumb, and then Kappa Kappa Gamma were our student groups that actually helped on the day of the planting, as well as the Ag Econ grad students and the biology grad students are helping us get the watering done that needs to be done before winter.
Which is a big task, by the way.
I'm sure.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, so big kudos to them for helping us out.
Yeah, most definitely. So how do you see this project affecting campus and the Lexington community?
So the biggest part of why we chose the two locations that we did for our initial gardens was so that it was able to reach the public. One of ours is along the Legacy Trail out on UK's North Farm, which will have a sign that educates the public, hey, this is a monarch garden, this is what monarchs do, this is why it's important, and as well as our one out at Eric is going to be used as an outreach with the community.
So what Eric stands for, and for those of you not familiar, Eric is the Ecological Research and Education Center. It's kind of an outreach hub for the Department of Biology.
Definitely. So you sort of touched on this, on the signage about why it's important. And, you know, you said that monarchs can stop here on their migratory patterns. But why is that important? Why was there this call to action by the White House to save these pollinators? What sort of state are they in?
So like I mentioned before, their habitat down in Mexico where they overwinter has drastically decreased for many reasons, mostly because of illegal logging going on. But here in the United States, the habitat or the milkweed that they lay their eggs on to have that next generation is essentially just being cut down in place of farms or preferred, I guess, yard plants, you know, the showy plants that maybe are not native to this area, and they don't provide any kind of resource for monarchs. So since their habitat's just being, I guess, wiped out, essentially, we need restoration efforts in order to make sure that monarchs for, you know, generations to come are here and have a place to go and make sure that they continue on being the beautiful butterfly that they are.
Absolutely. So how do you guys see this fitting into the greater sphere of sustainability, which constitutes economic viability and ecological integrity and social equity? Obviously, it has a big role to play in biodiversity. Monarchs are a really big deal, but how do you see this fitting in with economic viability and social equity?
So with economic viability, I would say that with our the first part of our project, the economic evaluation, we wanted to know how willing people are in Lexington, how willing they are to give to some kind of restoration effort. And so even though that we have a specific monarch milkweed project, that what we learn from this project can be applied to other restoration efforts for all different types of species of animals. So it kind of just lets future researchers know and future sustainability minded people know that Lexington is a great place to come. There are donations out there that can be found to help support all this. And I think that's really all that I'm safe or, I guess, feel comfortable answering.
Right.
I haven't really thought about how it would help the social side, but that's something we definitely need to start thinking about for sure.
Well, I think that you've already, you know, served a huge part in thinking about making this a participatory event, making sure that people are mindful about it and are involved with it. I think that that's a definite huge
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to make sure that we kind of reached out to as many groups as possible and try to get as many people as possible because we wanted to make sure that this was something that could be applied to many different types of universities or other organizations.
Right. Most definitely. It's a really important project. So clonability, I guess, is a really important aspect of this.
Absolutely.
So this is a sort of messy project in terms of it's not something that can just be, you know, stopped. So what are y'all's long-term goals for the project?
So for me, I will be finishing up my master's degree here in the next year, maybe year and a half. So I won't be around in the long term. Mm-hmm. But what we hope to do is we have this model created. We have all these guidelines laid out, and we're hoping that somebody will have, you know, the drive to come up and, you know, continue this project. But with our plots at North Farm, the only thing that really needs to be maintained is a little bit of weeding once or twice a year to make sure that mm-hmm. things don't get overgrown, and to have some kind of continuous watering process. If we can have student groups out there who would be interested in doing that and, you know, continuing the sustained watering effort, which is the really big thing, then we could see this thing going on for years to come.
That's awesome. Definitely. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge in implementing a project like this?
So watering and location has been our biggest undertaking, because like he said, our location at North Farm is not exactly accessible to water, so it's about 800 feet away from the closest water source, so we're struggling to figure out how to water, and we've come up with a solution for now, and also finding student groups that are willing to like come out and help us has been another one of our challenges.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, watering, for those who may be listening to this and want to do a project like this, think about your water prior to picking your spot to plant, because it's become quite the ordeal.
I'm sure it really sounds like it. Yeah. So sort of a plug, if there are any leaders and student groups listening, is there someone that you want them to contact to get in touch with to help out?
Yeah, you can get a hold of Rachel if you want to give out your email, or you can, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, so my email is rachela.hart@uky.edu, and I'll be happy to get you in contact with what you need to get done.
Yeah, it's a really cool. Members from one of my student groups were there helping out, and they came back and raved about it, how awesome it was, and that is just a really cool thing to get involved with. So
absolutely. We provide cookies as well. So,
mean, that's a big draw.
Not
a
only
big
do
factor.
You save the planet, but you get cookies.
That's a huge deal. Most definitely. So what's the timeline on this project been? When did it start out? When do you see it coming to its metaphoric end?
Okay, so Jared approached me in October of last year. So I guess from then until just a week ago when we got the plants in the ground, it's been 10 months or so in the making, kind of building it from the ground up, getting a direction, and then really pushing forward to make sure that we were able to accomplish, you know, a planting day before this, you know, the frost came. And mm-hmm. yeah, granted, our plots that we put out there this past week aren't going to exactly be beneficial to the butterflies this year, but it gives them enough time to establish and make sure that those perennials we put in the ground come back next year. So the timeline for when it might end, hopefully no time soon, you know, mm-hmm. hopefully this lasts for years and years, but our end of the project will finish most likely at the end of the spring semester.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to touch on some of the logistics of it. You know, how big the plot is, what sort of plants that you're putting in the ground, how much water are you guys using? Mm-hmm. I'm just really interested in how this is all running.
So we have two plots. One is a fairly rectangle shape, and the other was about an L. And so both of them are about 300 square feet with 350 plants in each spot. And so basically, we have eight different plants that make up the gardens that we planted. And so we have two types of milkweed based on our location, which is a common milkweed and a butterfly milkweed. We have four nectaring plants, which will help provide food for the adult monarchs. And that those were Joe Pieweed, purple coneflowers, New England asters, and blue false indigo. Mm. And then we also had two grasses, which helped to make the rest of the garden look natural and helped to shade and give other support to the other plants, and that was a big blue stem grass and a little blue stem grass. And like I said, we contacted a ton of experts in the area to figure out what would work best for our area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for the water part of that question, we I guess, did a little bit of research and found that in a 300 square foot plot of milkweed, you would need roughly about, what was it, a quarter inch of water per every square foot, which came to about 150 gallons. But knowing that these milkweed plants are, you know, sun loving, they prefer the open kind of dry field conditions. We're not really concerned with making sure we get a minimum of that. That's kind of like our maximum amount of water we're going to use. So today, when I just finished watering the North Farm plot with Eric, or with Jared, I apologize for that. We used, I believe, somewhere around 130 gallons of water. It's a lot to begin with, but we're hoping that if we can give these plants the water they need to make sure they establish, then they'll be able to pretty much sustain themselves without any intervention, you know, maybe next year or something like that.
Right. So it's sort of the beginning stages of this, but how often a week are you guys out there? How much upkeep is this taking in its inaugural go, I guess?
We don't plan to be out there any more than to water.
Okay.
And then we'll also, you know, go out there to make sure, maybe, you know, once or twice a month, once the watering's finished, to make sure, you know, things are still in order and no one's vandalized the area. And once we put the sign up, to make sure the sign's still, you know, readable and no one's, you know, like I just mentioned, vandalized it or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's really only thing we're going to need to go out there for in the near future is to water the site.
Gotcha. Are there any faculty partners in this? I know that you mentioned that you're, you know, on UK premises. So I just didn't know if there were any people overseeing this, I guess, other than grad students.
I wouldn't necessarily say overseeing it. Of course, my PI, Dr. Phil Crowley, is involved. Mm-hmm. Jared's PI, Dr. Wu Young, is involved. But out at North Farm, we used Dr. Lynn Risky Kenny's area. Mm-hmm. She has so much acreage out there, and she allowed us to use a small portion of what she has,
right,
and was, you know, more than happy to help us out. Other faculty, Megan Seifert, she helps out over at Eric, and I apologize for not knowing exactly what she does, but she was one of our main contacts there. Other than that, it's really just been Jared, myself, and Rachel taking a hold.
Gotcha. On that note, how did you guys individually come to get involved with the project?
So I first got involved with this project when Jared came to, he contacted my PI, Dr. Phil Crowley, and I was asking, you know, if he would have anyone interested in the project, because they were looking for someone to kind of handle the biology side of all this. And he asked if I was interested, and I said, yeah, I am. I have the time to do it, and I'll gladly help out. And Rachel can tell her story.
I'm an ag econ undergrad, and so Jared approached me to be a student worker, and I was interested in the project. So that's kind of how I got involved and started in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So that's all the questions that I have for y'all for today. But if y'all want to plug one more time, any ways to get involved or any sort of message that you want to get out there, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be throwing down some seeds in November so that they can go through a winter stratification process and then hopefully bloom in the coming spring. So if you are a student group leader out there and you're interested in participating in this, feel free to contact Rachel Hart. Again, her email is what again?
It's rachela.hart@uky.edu.
And Hart is spelled H-A-R-T.
Right.
Yeah, so don't be shy. We'd love to have you.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have some closing announcements. The Office of Sustainability is putting on their fourth consecutive Adopt a Spot campaign. Student organizations can metaphorically adopt a spot of campus to commit to completing a litter sweep of their zone once a week for 4 weeks. For each sweep completed, the office rewards the group with cash incentives and free t-shirts. I don't know about you, but I am definitely more excited for the free t-shirts. More information on this can be found at uky.edu/sustainability/pick-it-up. The Office of Sustainability has also announced a new engagement program for first-year students. Cengage, it's called Sustainability Engagement, will provide first-year UK students with an introduction to sustainability at UK. The first event will be September 29th at 4 p.m., and more info on the program can be found on the sustainability website under the Cengage tab. As always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website under the Student Sustainability Council tab on that sustainability website. You can also like us on Facebook at UKYSSC or follow us on our Twitter by the same name. I will be around next week featuring another funded project from the SSC. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.